Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Okay, we'll hop right into it. So tonight we're joined by Tad Hargrave. Tad is a hippie who developed a knack for marketing and then learned how to be a hippie again. He is a marketing coach and he's the founder of Marketing for Hippies. And tonight he's going to be talking to us about finding your niche when you can help nearly everyone. All right, take it away, Tad.
All right, well, thank you. Good to see we've got people from all over. It's the strangest time zone I've ever done a presentation in. I don't think I've ever done a presentation at 8 p.m. I imagine it's strange hours for all of you, wherever you are. So, and some of you, when I did the math, it's much stranger than me. So there we go. So the thing I suppose I'm talking about today is niching. And this is something I could talk for hours about, honestly. And it's not, the theory isn't that helpful. So what I'd like to do is make this a little more practical for those of you who showed up, is my way of just saying thank you for showing up at strange hours you did at 5 a.m. and, 11 p.m. and all these strange hours. So what I'd like you to try to do, it will take a couple of minutes, and in the chat, I'd like you to try to type out your niche, and I'm going to give you, to have some mercy on you, a bit of a format for it. And so you may want to write this down because it's a bit of a template. It's a three-part template. It's not uncommon. You may have come across it before. And it sounds like this. I help blank kinds of people struggling with blank kinds of problem get blank kind of result. Yeah. So I help blank kinds of people. So for example, I help people involved in corporate sales struggling with blank kinds of problem, who are terrified of cold calling, even though their job depends on them doing it. To achieve X result, I help them find a way to do the sales that actually feels genuinely good to them and their clients or prospects. So that would be an example. Or I help parents who are struggling with either being too authoritarian or too permissive to find a way of parenting where they can stay loving, calm, and centered even when their kids testing them the most. I help people lose weight without having to do the dieting thing. I mean, that's a fairly generic one, but you get the sense, yeah? So that's the format. And I'm gonna invite you to stick to it fairly closely. So I help this kind of group struggling with this particular issue to achieve this kind of result. Now, I know some of you may be saying, but Tad, wait, no, I could help a lot of people. I could do a lot of things and I'm drawn to a lot of people and I don't want to lose the diversity. I get it. That's not going to help you in this call. So I'm going to invite you to just pick one that you might want to experiment with, one where you might say, well, this is one I've been thinking about. You know, I would like to work with a more diverse group, but yeah, I wouldn't have more of this kind of client, because I really enjoy helping people with this particular issue. I really enjoy helping people get this result in their life. So one more time, it's I help this certain group of people and they're struggling with this particular kind of problem and I help them get this result. So a way to think about it is, by the way, you notice the thing I'm not saying that is I'm saying nothing about what you do. I'm not talking about your modality. I haven't used the word embodiment. There's no jargon in it. This is entirely about them. So it's like they're on island A. Yeah, they're struggling with some symptoms, some trouble that they don't like. They want to be on island B. That's the result where there's the island where there's this result they're craving. So the problem, it has to be a symptom, has to be something they're aware of, not just something you notice. And the result we're talking about has to be something they're craving, not just something you want for them. Okay, so we're getting some, I can see them coming in. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start working through these. Now, the first thing I want to say is niching is not just about who. But that's what we're going to focus on, because this is the easy, this is the low-hanging fruit. But of course, your niche, the way I would define niche is your role in the community. Your niche is the role you want to be known for in the marketplace. That includes what you do, how you do it, where, when you do it, why you do it, and for whom you do it. But we're going to focus on the who, because for service providers, this is probably the one that can get you the most impact right away. Why? Because once you know exactly who you're trying to reach, it's very easy to come up with packages, programs, offers, and it's also much easier to figure out hubs. It makes it easier to figure out where to find them. So, okay, let's dig in. Okay, so Dylan's, Sarah Clark. I help adolescents and families who are struggling with mental health issues to live their best lives. Okay, so this is great. I mean, it's with a little bit more clarity, this is a winner. I help adolescents and families who are struggling. So the one of the most important things to know when we're talking about niche is you want to focus on who's paying you. That's the client, most certainly. Secondarily, the adolescent, well, you may need to have some marketing materials that speak to the teen themselves, but primarily if the parent's paying, that's who you focus on. So I would probably say something like, I focus on parents of adolescents, yeah, who are struggling with, and then the question is, what's not clear in this, are the parents struggling with mental health issues or are the teens struggling with mental health issues? Yeah, so just even clarifying that. So the way I read it, I imagine is, you know, I help. And you can think about this. Somebody at a party says, what do you do? And instead of going into your modality and talking about the boat that you use to get people from island A to island B, you just talk about the journey. And instead of saying, oh, I do this unique combination of modalities, right? I'm into embodiment, and which nobody cares about. You say, you know, I help. There's a lot of parents out there who, and their teens are struggling with mental health stuff. And here's another little niching hack you can use. Is mental health is a fairly broad category, we could all agree. So if you can give like three examples of it, it suddenly makes it more real. Because the umbrella terms tend to be a little fuzzy. But if you see, yeah, I help parents and their teens are going through mental health issues like depression, their kids are having anxiety attacks, maybe even suicidal. But maybe you would have, you know, maybe Sarah, you'd pick three different ones. Maybe it would be eating disorders, you know, they're cutting, and I don't know, they're getting into bad relationships, but to live their best lives. So live their best lives, I would just say that's a little generic, because especially if I think of it as this is about the parents dealing with it, what are the parents craving? So, you know, you've got to put yourself in the shoes. Imagine you're a parent. And your child is, you've got a teen who's struggling with mental health. It's like, what are they craving the most at that moment? And that's the thing to articulate. They're not going to sleep going, how can I live my best life tomorrow? That's not what they're saying. You know, they're, and by the way, sometimes what people are craving is legitimate to say, I had a gallbladder issue. I had to have my gallbladder out, sadly, very terrible case of gallstones. And I had probably four gallbladder attacks, and I don't know if anyone's had them, but if you have, you know, it's one of the worst. It's so bad. Like that, kidney stones and giving birth are, I think, it's real awful. And I learned then that the absence of pain, it can be everything you wanted, you know? So with this, it could be that. It could just be that their kids are okay. You know, parents, their kids are struggling with mental health issues, and they just want their kid to be okay. And I help them figure out strategies to just help their kid be okay again. But, you know, they're probably not saying, they're like, God, Mike, I want my kid to go to Harvard and be an achiever. It's, you know, at that point, it's probably a little different. Anyways, hopefully that helps some, Sarah. So, by the way, once I give you feedback, see if you want to try doing another version of it, and we'll see how many we get through. But try putting it in the chat, because even if we don't get to it, it's good practice to wrap your mind around. And by the way, Sarah, thank you. That's sadly needed work, and I'm glad you're out there. Allie Fisher, transformation through movement. I help women who feel disconnected from their body looking for the next chapter in their life to unfold in a more integrated way. Okay, it's a good thing you're on this call. Okay, so the first thing, by the way, this is what I'll be doing my best practice here, is what the good Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about, is this balance of unconditional love and uncompromising truth. We have a very short period of time together, and I just think you'd want this time to be useful, and you'd like me to be as candid as possible. So if I don't couch this as gently, you know, this is me loving you all right now. So transformation through movement, it's a bit of a tagline. So if somebody said, the way to think about the writing of this is, if you were at a party, somebody says, what do you do? What would you say? So you probably wouldn't say that. So let's just cut that. I help women who feel disconnected from their body. The question is, and this is the big question, do they feel that, or do you notice that? That's the difference. Like on island, are they walking around saying, God, I am so disconnected from my body? Or do you notice that in the session? It's like, man, they have no idea that they even have a body. Yeah, because if you notice it, that's your point of view. And that's profoundly important. I wrote a whole ebook called Point of View Marketing. That's like 200 pages about this. So it's not that I don't think it's important, but it's secondary. If we can imagine, there are three things that are needed in marketing. There's relevance, credibility, and value. If you go to marketingforhippies.com/RCV, there's a blog post about this. And if you go to YouTube, there's a video, just search on YouTube, Tad Hargrave, Problem, Premise, Promise. And so I won't even go into it more. Suffice it to say, the first thing we start with is what's relevant to them. The first thing we start with is the problem. Then we go into our opinions about it. But in this statement, opinions are probably of limited use, though there may be exceptions, as we may see. So do they feel disconnected from their body, or do you notice that? That's the first thing I wonder. If that's how they would word it, and literally if they're going to sleep saying, God, I'm so disconnected from my body, keep it. If not, then the question to ask is, okay, well, what's happening as a result of them being disconnected from their body? What are the symptoms that they are experiencing as a result of that? What situations, and this is a really good way to think about the problem, is a situation, not just an abstract issue, but what troubles, what situations does it cause in their life? Looking for the next chapter of their life to unfold in a more integrated way. So here's part of the challenge I have with this formulation is, if you can imagine, Island A and Island B are sort of mirrors of each other. They're the exact opposite of each other. And so in this one, I see on Island A, disconnected from their body, and Island B, integrated. And I suppose disconnection and disintegration are similar, but it just loses me a bit. I don't see the mirror so easily. I have to really think about it. It gives a clue here, because when it says, looking for the next chapter to unfold in a more integrated way, what I hear is their current chapter of life is disintegrated in some way. So that may be the doorway in, because then it's thinking about, okay, well, in what way is it like, what does that look like? And again, if you can tell the story of it, if you can say, you know, these are the types of things that happen in their life, you know, like they're working at a job they hate, they're in a relationship they don't want to be in, and they can't seem to leave it. They're hanging out with friends that this just, they don't even know why anymore. Their life feels fractured or something could be. Because then what happens after, if you can see where the disconnect from the body comes in, you know, you say, yeah, you know, I work with women and they're so, their lives just feel so fractured and kind of meaningless. And they want to be really, they feel so half-hearted about everything. And they're starting to realize that. And they just, you know, it's like they ready, pray, love. And just every part of them was like, fucking hell, right. That's what I want, to be so full-hearted about something. So I help them get to that place. And somebody says, oh, that's amazing. How do you do it? You know, it starts with getting them connected to their bodies again. So you see what I mean? It can come immediately after. Once the relevance has been established, we go to point of view. So those are some thoughts there. Yeah, and bless you for doing it, Allie. And of course, I may have missed the point completely, so feel free to circle back with another version. Jordan said, I help traumatized people struggling with coping mechanisms to achieve a better structure, stability, and understanding of self. Okay, so traumatized people, one of the things I would just add there is maybe three examples of the types of trauma you help with. Because, I mean, trauma is becoming more common, but I just think it's helpful for people to see, like, what do you mean by this? You know, and also there may be further distinctions that could be important is traumatized, yes. Is this childhood trauma? Is this ancestral trauma? Is it the whole thing? Sometimes we have things that we mean and we just forget to say them, and then we get clients that aren't quite a fit. Struggling with coping mechanisms. So I don't know what that means, struggling with coping mechanisms. What it makes me think is they've developed some compensatory strategies that aren't healthy, like they're drinking too much, you know, they're risky behavior, got anger issues. I don't know. But again, that would be one you could put a top three. Like, what are the most common coping mechanisms that you see? And then I'm curious, what do you mean by struggling? Like, do you mean that they're now aware of them? Like, oh, this is not healthy. And I know it's connected to my trauma. And how do I get over it? How do I get rid of it? You know, there's always that question for me of how aware are they of this? Because sometimes it's, you know, you say, let's talk about your coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms? What are you talking about? Well, you know, those mechanisms you develop to cope with the trauma. What trauma? That's a different conversation than somebody who comes in and says, man, I know these are unhealthy patterns I've got and I can't stop. That's a different thing. So to achieve a better structure, stability, and understanding of self, I see that as your point of view, Jordan. That's not probably what they're craving. Again, if you want to check this, I mean, literally just imagine your ideal clients about to fall asleep, and is this what they're muttering to themselves? Like, if only I had a better structure, stability, and understanding of self. Like, is that the last thing they would say? Is that what keeps them up at night in that wording? You know, and I tease a bit, but it's got to be their wording. Because when they come to our homepage, and oh gosh, if you go to marketingforhippies.com/homepage-case-studies, I think it's URL, you'll see 10 or 11 examples of homepages. A lot of them are the folks in my mentorship program, and we put a lot of work in on the homepage because we want to get it to a point where people would read the homepage and say, oh, that's me, not, that's nice. That's not good. If people read your website and they're like, oh, that's nice. That's shitty. It's a disappointment. It's bad news, you know. Ooh, my battery. One sec.
Chad, can you repeat the relevance, those three words with the,
again? Relevance, credibility, and value.
Okay.
Yeah, and similarly, what goes, it's the same things in different words as problem, premise, promise, and there's a YouTube video on that. And then let me, I'll just read you, like maybe I'll cut and paste it, I'll put it in the, this is one of those the headlines from one of those homepage case studies. So I want you to see how this woman, I'll put the website too so you can see it. Larissa Noonan. And okay, so I just put it in the chat. And this is what we came up with after a lot of work doing pretty much exactly this exercise. So I want to be a witchy healer, but grew up in a fundamentalist Christian home. Support for the aspiring and closet good witches, heathens, and elders in training, recovering from a fucked up childhood. you know, it's gold. That's gold. She wanted to say messed up, but I said say fucked up. That's funnier. So you see the clarity of it. As you read that, you know if you're in that group or not. You know, there's no wondering about that. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh man, there's so many. It's good. We're not going to get through them all. let me actually just pause for a moment, just to hear back from you a little bit. What are you getting from this so far? Let's just maybe take two or three people. What are you learning? What's jumping out to you so far?
Would you like to hear people on their when their video up?
Yeah.
Okay. If anyone is an attendee who wants to join the main room right now to interact on video, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll admit you into the main room. Or if anyone in the main room, go ahead and raise your hand. Same. Okay. Sarah? Sarah Ming.
Yes, cool. Hi, everyone. So we are interacting with my sentence, right? No? I'm lost. Hello?
Sorry, I got muted somehow. I just wanted to do a little... to hear how this is landing, to hear what you're noticing as I'm speaking or what you're learning so far. I just wanted to sort of pause and check in briefly about
that. Okay. All right. So that there is a structure to find who you're helping with. So definitely that's key. And the fact that you are using a real example, it gives power because in the past I have learned that technique as well. But they were not doing things live like you do now, taking example in real life example. So they were using sentences, you know, they were might be too easy or I don't know. But so here in this case, it's really more about, okay, there is a structure, stick to it, and then let's go. And all the advice that you're adding when you take the real example helps to get clarity and the real focus and not to be too much, using very specific words rather than using, you know, like, I don't want to say woo-woo words, but it's true that I'm not looking at myself in the mirror and saying, oh, I need to find my inner self. Yeah. Even if it's that what you need to get, it's not the right way I am speaking to myself, actually.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this is what I've learned. Thank you.
Just to reflect everyone, it's so important what you just said is being abstract, using jargon, it's the end. It's over before it began. Using this big lofty language, it just loses everybody. And if I wanted to be a bit more intense, it's condescending to people. There's a kind of talking down to people. It's don't use these big words that nobody understands. I mean, isn't this the trouble a lot of people have, the liberal elite? Yeah, the trouble with the radical left. You go to university and you learn the word agency and all of a sudden, like, none of your friends can bear being around you at Thanksgiving. So it's a real thing. You know, when people learn this kind of language and people do it in the holistic world and people feel like such outsiders listening to it. And it's such a relief to have somebody just talk like a fucking human being. Yeah, let's hear one more person.
Yeah, I just wanted to tack on to that. That is so important. You know, just as simple as what is the story that they're, what is going on in their head at night when they, you know, what are they worried about? That's, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it keeps them up at night. And really, because you have things that keep you up at night. Mm-hmm. And they're specific to the time and the place you live. They're specific to what's happening in your life. We don't fall asleep. We're not kept up at night by abstract things. It's, right. Oh my God, should I leave this person or should I stay? It's
or this job or whatever.
Job or God, the physical pain I'm in, or
yes.
So that's what keeps people up. So it's not a bad, yeah, it's not a bad question to ask. Like, what's keeping my clients up at 3 a.m.? They can't sleep because what? Or here's another one that I really like is if you got your client, if you caught your client at the bar, your ideal client, and they're 3-4 beers in. So now they're honest. And you said, what's going on in your life? What would they say? It would probably start with these two words. I just fill in the blank. I just want to, I'm just so sick of, you see what I'm saying? Like all their big words would be gone. They'd be left with real simple grade 7 words. They're slurring a bit, but it's so honest. And whatever they say would be very relatable. They'd be so, there's something very, you know, or when people are exhausted or they're in that state where the candor comes out. It's very touching actually, because you just, you can see the humanity.
I mean, it's the, can I interject real quick? We're getting some comments to speak up a little.
So okay.
Maybe that might help. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna keep going. Okay, so I think we're on Anne Marie Altman. I help working and entrepreneurial mamas with malt to achieve deep and beautiful relationships with their children and to find satisfaction with the choice to work. Man, that's real clear. I don't have a lot of feedback about that. Yeah, I think that works. You know, could there be, you know, if I was going to encourage some more specificity, maybe a few examples of what you mean by mom guilt might help. But no, and I think that's great, everyone. I think that's an example of like, that's at least 80-90% clear. So wonderful. Tawani, I help people new to yoga in need of healing find peace and healing through yoga. Okay. In need of healing from what? Everything? You see how this can become the thing where, oh, but this modality can help everyone with everything. So is this emotional healing, financial healing? Is this physical healing? Is it spiritual healing? Is it all of it? Is it, there's a lot of different types of healing. So Tawani, the exercise I would do is to make a list of, and this is a helpful practical exercise. You make a list, first of all, let's say in this case, all the things you think people need healing from that you could help them with yoga. So it's, and that could be a long list, great. Then you make a chart. So on this axis, yeah, up, down axis, whatever the hell it's called, you've got how passionate are you about it? And then on this axis, bottom, you've got how competent are you? And then just take each of those issues and you just start to plot them. And you'll see, it's like, wow, I'm passionate about this, but I'm not very good at it. Or I'm great at this, but I hate it. So of course, what we're looking for, we want to just put a big X through everything that we're not passionate about, we're not that competent in, and we want to focus on. That can just help you distill it down, you know, because if you had 30 things, that might distill it down to 10. And then you can start to, you know, figure out other refinements from there. But so Tawani, that would be the next step I would encourage for you. Tate said, I help middle-aged women who are struggling with who they are, with who they are now after raising a family to feel complete and fulfilled. I give this like a 6 out of 10. It's pretty clear. I mean, I basically get it. And I find myself craving a bit more specific. I mean, you've kind of got the empty nesting thing going, but is this, there's so many angles you could go on. Are they craving to travel? Are they craving to do a creative project? Are they craving to, is it, how recently have their kids left, you know, and the family, that kind of work is done. I just find myself, because the reason I say with this is there's so many people out there doing this exact kind of coaching. helping around the empty nesting. So Tate, this is the next step for you. Do a Google search. Imagine you are this middle-aged woman searching on Google and go searching for stuff. And search, number one, for coaches. I would just imagine you were searching for a coach as that person. See what comes up. You'll see a lot of your competition, people doing similar things. Look at their websites and see what do you like, what don't you like, what's different about what you're doing. That's number one. Number two, go on Amazon. Look at all the books that talk about this. And just see, like, are those the books you would write? Or is there something missing, you know, to see what, and also there's a video on YouTube. If you search Tad Hargrave, Danny Inney, I-N-Y, the positioning matrix. And that might also give you some thoughts on this. Okay, Surrender said, I help dentists struggling with stress and burnout to become more calm and productive. That's pretty clear. I get it. Yeah, generally that's clear. I think there's probably some more specific subsets of this, but I get it. To me, that's like a 8 or 9 out of 10. I understand it. And here's the most important thing. As I'm reading these out, you need to know immediately if you're in this group or not, every single time. If there's ever any doubt in your mind, if you're in a group or not, that's the huge red flag. That's the Mayday signal. Yeah. There should never be a, am I in this or not? And so I know, first of all, I'm not a dentist. So boom, solved. So then the rest of it becomes irrelevant to me. So it's great. Erica Batdorf says, I help performing artists struggling with disembodiment and trauma create work that helps use and transform that trauma and create work with deeper meaning and excellence. Interesting. Okay, so I help performing artists struggling with disembodiment. So again, it's just, to me, there's this question of, are they aware of this? You know, do they know that they are disembodied? Do they know that they're struggling in that way? If so, great. And do they know they're struggling with trauma? Same. Create work that helps use and transform that trauma. Yeah, you know, part of me almost wants to say I would cut the disembodiment, depending, you know, on how attached they are to that word. But so, and you, there might be other ways to say it that are a little more folksy, a little more colloquial, where you say, you know, I work with performing artists who went through something traumatic in their life that's not resolved. Maybe it was a car accident or sexual assault or plane crash or somebody died close to them. You know, whatever the top three maybe are for you. Like, what are the most common types of things you hear? And you say, and that trauma has held them back in their work in various ways as a performing artist. And what I help them do is to actually use that trauma. Yeah. And then the second part, I think, works really well. But you see what I'm saying? There's a way to come to it. There's a way to say it that it just speaks to it a bit more humanly. Like, you know, they've gone through this. This type of thing happened to them. And because I'm still like, it's not immediate. I mean, that was my guess of something I might say. But it's not immediately clear. What's the connection between trauma and performing artists? Like, so what? You're traumatized? Well, everyone's traumatized. Well, welcome to the dominant culture of the modern era. We're all traumatized. Great. But what's the problem with it? So what? And that's a good question to ask with whatever you wrote for Island A. If we didn't get to it, it's good to just look at it and say, well, yeah, but so what? What makes that so bad? Now, of course, there are problems here, I imagine. If you're a performing artist and you have trauma and that has you disembodied, that's a big issue. Your performances will lack oomph or heft or, you know, power to them, I would guess. So, but beautiful. Yeah, I love it. And this is an example where the point of view is kind of in the thing. But sometimes that works very well, where you see the point of view and it's like, oh, that's compelling. Huh. I see what you do. So, Erica, beautiful stuff. Suki, I help competitive equestrians. See, immediately I know I'm not that. So this is a winner already. I love it. Who struggle with pain from accidents. Oh, this is so clear. And injuries to help to heal their bodies, improve their posture, position in the saddle so they can perform at their highest potential. that's how you do it, real clear. Like, I got no fuzziness. I don't think anyone was sitting there thinking, am I a competitive equestrian? I don't know. Everyone knows. Kelsey, I work with pregnant women struggling with a relationship with an alcoholic parent to achieve a wholehearted birth. Okay, well, again, that's very clear. You know if you're in that group or not. I like it. I mean, I give it high marks, and I'm still like, it's not totally clear to me why their struggle in their relationship with an alcoholic parent, what that has to do with having a wholehearted birth. So I just think that could probably use a bit more. By the way, I encourage you all to just develop the art of, you can ramble on this a bit. It doesn't have to be such a pithy statement. You just have to tell a story, basically. That's all we're doing here, is telling a little story. What do you do? Well, you know how a lot of these people struggle with this and they're really craving this? I help them get that. That's just a little story about this little simple journey from A to B. So in this case, I just think there's a part of the story missing for me here. I get the pregnant women. I get struggling with in a relationship with the alcoholic parent. I get wanting to have a wholehearted birth, and I don't see how they all go together. So it could be something like, oh man, you know, I'm not even gonna venture. But I think there's something there. There's something very clear for you that is not clear in reading it, of the connection between the alcoholic parent and the birth itself. Okay, Joey.
Do you want to take a couple questions? We have a couple questions that
can help people. Sure.
Igor, let's start with Igor's question. Igor, I unmuted you. Go ahead.
Hi. So I think I tried to ask a couple of questions, but just see what's most relevant. I don't know how much of time you have to answer, but I see like you quickly recognize when you're not that person, like if your social role or profession, yes, I know I don't work with horses, so that's not for me. But if it's qualitative thing, it's harder to pin it down. And I don't know if you have any advice, like it doesn't map by age or profession, although sometimes there is a correlation. And then the other thing, if I describe what I help with, like it will sound like a lot of people say, oh, so do you do yoga or are you a chiropractor? And I'm neither. And then I have to explain how I'm different and might as well explain right away in what way that I help is different and I believe more effective, or what's the gist of it? Because for many people, that how I help is a deal breaker. Actually, it's they would not do it because it's too tedious and they don't get it, or it's like, oh yeah, that's I'll do that and I won't do something else. So
what do you do?
Feldenkrais.
Okay. Yeah. So I just think it's okay for it to be a conversation. Like, we don't have to put everything in one statement that filters everyone out. So what I gave you initially is these three steps. But I'll give you the two more steps. There's five steps in the whole thing. The first one is who, you name who you're trying to reach. Second, it's what's the problem they struggle with. Third, what's the result they're craving. Fourth, then it's good to give a story, a case study, an example. Fifth, then you talk about how, and that's where you might name the modality. But the challenge I would give to everyone is to consider, could you do those five steps without ever naming the modality? Not that it's bad to, it's just, it's a crutch for so many of us. It's what do? And the modality is the first thing that comes out. And then that loses a lot of the Feldenkrais. Are you Christian? It's like, oh my God, this again. So it could be, you know, I help people in this, and they say, oh, wow, well, tell me, how do you do that? And you could, but that's good, by the way. If they're asking questions, that's good. That means you're having a conversation, they're engaged. At that point, though, I still wouldn't jump to the modality. I'd say, well, you know, for example, and I would just tell a story. And this is very helpful to have three back pocket stories. Like, be ready for this. Think what those stories are. It could be your own story of how this transformed you. That's probably the best story. but it might also be a client. You know, a client came to see me and they had this thing going on, and we noticed what was really going on was this thing, and we did XYZ, and then, you know, a few months later they were better, and people just like, whoa, that's amazing. And it, and sometimes, and then they might say, well, so how does this work exactly? But they don't, what they're asking at that point is not necessarily what's the modality you have.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally just trying to picture it. And so, like, you know, they're wondering, like, is this live or is this online? And am I sitting? Am I lying down? Am I wearing clothes or am I naked? Am I hooked up to a machine?
Mm-hmm.
Is all that happening at once? Are you touching me? Like, they don't know. So if it might be like, you know, I do this through one-on-one in-person sessions. That's different than I do this through group Zoom calls. So sometimes it's that. And then they might even ask, well, does this have a name? Oh, yeah, it's called Feldenkrais. But unless they're into the scene, and this is where you kind of have to read the situation. There are some people you're like, oh, they would know, and you could just, I do Feldenkrais. But, you know, I specialize in this way. So we don't have to be robotic about
it. And does it always have to be... does it always have to be based around like so-called pain point? Do I have to really always talk about the problem that people face? Can it be a positive motivation, or is it really ineffective?
No, like, it could be. The question to ask yourself is what's most real to people. So for an example I often give here is, you know, the way to sell me on going to Europe, you don't need to say, is Edmonton a hellhole? Want to get out of Alberta? It's like, it's not that it's painful to me. It's just that I want to go to Europe. So sometimes what's more real for people is the craving, is the yearning, you know, want to get away, want to travel and want to whatever. And then sometimes what's more real for people is the pain. When I had the gallbladder issues, if you'd said, Tad, how would you like to feel glowing radiance in your body? I would have said, fuck you. Do you have drugs? Do they work? Will they help me? Do they feel good? I'm in. I would have been so, I couldn't have given a shit about your, anyone's alliance chakras, anything. It just hurt so bad. I just wanted, so in that case, that was more real. So that's the thing to be, just, we need to be honest with ourselves about. Is the pain more real for them? And then it's empathy for that. Like, it could be, there's empathy for what they want. Like, man, I hear you really want this. And usually if they're really craving something and they don't have it, even within that, I guess there's a pain point of, oh, and you don't know how, you've tried before and you feel stuck, or that's frustrating. But yeah, it's just, we're just trying to honor and speak to people's experiences in a way that when they hear it, they should, to me, the goal is almost, they would read a headline and they're so touched, they're like, oh my God, I'm home. This is me, exactly. That's the goal, you know, because the homepage of our website, it's not about us. It shouldn't be, it's about them. It should be a love letter to them where they read it and they just say, wow, I feel so seen. This person fucking gets it.
About that, I have a couple more questions. So I'll just kind of list them because they're kind of related. So sure. Is the approach based on assuming people really know what they need and want? And if they knew, wouldn't they kind of have that island be in mind? And also, do we have to niche? So kind of from the, both of those angles.
Okay, let's do that second one first. Do you have to niche? Well, first of all, you already are in some way. I mean, you're not walking around claiming to do everything for everybody at all times and to make all product, you know, so you have niche. You do embodiment work. That's already pretty narrow. And to look at it another way, because at this point you're looking at it from the, should I niche? Should I make the conscious decision? But let's flip it. Fundamentally, your niche is what you want to be known for and what you're going to be known for. And here's the thing, you will not be known for everything. You will be extremely lucky if you're even known for one thing. So then that's the question, what do you want to be known for? You don't get to be known for everything. And you can't win over everybody. You can't win 100% of the market. That's a non-existent thing. So do you have to niche? It just happens. I mean, walk down the high street of any city and look at every single shop, and they're all niched. You start to realize there's nothing that's not niched. So then the only question is this: are you attracting the kind of people you want and doing the kind of work you want? Is whatever you have as a niche? It's not like you get to choose. You already have one right now, but here might be the niche. Somebody says, what does this person do? Oh man, she's into that, I don't know, weird hippie shit. She's crystals and tarot. I'm pretty sure she does tarot. She likes herbal tea. I don't know. Like, what does that guy do? I saw him doing acro yoga at a party. Does he do acro yoga? He does? No. Burning Man? I've seen him at Burning Man a lot. I think he's a yoga teacher. I don't know. Like, that's literally what it sounds like for some people. So if you're happy with that, the thing to ask you, imagine this, you're sitting at a party and you overhear people talking about you behind you. They don't know you're there. And somebody says, what's this person's deal? What do you want them to say? That you would be sitting there like, yeah, that's exactly what I do. That you'd be happy about. So do you have to niche? You already are. I mean, it's just, are you happy with it? Is it getting you the results you want? The second question was what?
It was, is this approach based on assuming people already know what they need and want? Because if they already knew, wouldn't they be already on the road to getting it or having that island be in their mind? And that way, recognizing our...
Oh, let's distinguish. Yeah. Distinguish between the two. I think the two are different questions.
Well, do they know? Is this based on assuming people know what they already need and want? Because if they knew, wouldn't they already be able to recognize our message and saying, yes, that's me?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. Okay, so first of all, do they know what they need? Maybe, maybe not. Do they know what they want? Probably. I mean, yeah, they know what they want. Is it healthy, what they want? Is what they want gonna get them what they actually want? Maybe not. But people do know, they have some clarity about what they want, of course. They're craving something. Even if it's not fully articulated, yeah, there is some clarity there. Are they clear about what they actually need? What would be most useful? That comes and goes. You know, like for example, here's one from, what's her website? Let's pull this up. This is a woman who was in my mentorship program, and we were really wrestling with her, Rochelle Warrington. And I'll put this again in the chat. This is an example of somebody who a very specific target market that has a and her website I'll put as well said, have you had persistent pain or mysterious body symptoms for a while and are beginning to wonder if it has emotional roots but have no idea how to find out what they might be and how to release or resolve them? So you see what I'm saying? That's somebody who sometimes they don't know what they need, but they're starting to suspect it. Like, you know, I'm suspecting this might really be about this. But then there's still a problem. And the problem is, yeah, you don't know how to find out what the emotional roots are. You kind of think this probably has emotional roots, but yeah.
Here's a good question. Is it fair to survey people you know to ask them what they feel you are known for?
Yeah, totally, that's one thing to do. That can be very helpful. And Dharma Tata, I saw your question. I just posted a link there for you. Any other questions?
If you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the Q&A. We've answered a few of them. Don't see.
I have a question direct. I'm sorry, Ted, you said you saw my question, but you said you typed in, I only see you typed in as your website.
marketingforhippies.com/authors. It's a blog post.
Oh, it's a blog post.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have a more specific question?
She did. It was, but the blog post will answer. Okay. Yeah. Man, there's so many comments. It's amazing. Y'all are active.
And we can all save. Everyone can save. I don't think you can do it on a mobile phone, but the three little dots will allow you to save the chat. That's been really helpful, especially with all the stories, just so we can go back and maybe assess for ourselves what we've learned. But what were the five steps again? Tad, you want to go through those again one more time?
Yeah, sure. So there's an ebook I've got but on the Marketing for Hippies website called Crystal Clear that goes into this and gives a lot of examples of this. But basically, who? Problem, result, story, how. Yeah, so who, problem, result, story, how. What does that sound like in a sentence? You know how blank kinds of people struggle with blank kinds of problem? What I do is help them get blank kind of result. For example, blank. And the way that I do that is blank. That's the five. I want to skim down to back to these rewrites just to bookend this. So Sarah said, yeah, I help parents who are concerned about their kids, teens, anxiety and depression by helping their teens to be okay. That's a lot clearer already, right? Because then the question that, now I'm getting the sense that you work with the teen, like you're a counselor for the teen is the sense I get. Yeah, it's because that's different than if you're a coach for the parents who's helping the parents to become more skilled and resourceful or deal with their own feelings about their kids' depression, anxiety. And that's also different than I help. And then I also wonder, and it's good, by the way, this curiosity is good. So this isn't disparaging what Sarah's written. It's good to notice I start to wonder, well, and are you doing therapy or is this kind of strategy? Is this helping them get off their smartphones? Is it nutritional stuff? There's a lot of approaches you could take. So the fact that I'm curious is good. By helping their kids be okay, I think that could be honed. Like, in what way are you doing that? I just think a little more details wanted. Erica did a rewrite. I help professional performing artists struggling with inauthenticity, creative blocks, and discipline confidently and efficiently create more authentic, relevant work with excellence. I see it. I liked the trauma thing. I actually enjoyed that in the having that there. And maybe my rendering or wondering was completely off base in it. But struggling with inauthenticity, I wonder, do they know that? Are they, because again, this is the question, when they leave the stage, do they feel like, God, I was so fake on stage? And is that the word they would use, inauthenticity, or is it they feel like a fraud, they feel like a fake? Might be more hit the mark with it. They're struggling with creative blocks. I imagine they'd be aware of that. And struggling with discipline. In what ways? And I find myself disciplined to rehearse, disciplined to what? Confidently and efficiently. Create more authentic, relevant work. I like this idea of creating more authentic, relevant work. And again, I wonder if that's the wording. Like, that just seems a bit jargony to me. Like, I just want, maybe that it would be, I want authentic, relevant work with excellence. Like, I just don't know if they would say it like that. You know, it might be like, I just want the audience to be spellbound. Like, or I want a standing ovation. I want a show that leaves the audience sobbing. I want a show that they can't stop talking about for weeks. I don't know, like, what, you know, here's an example of three levels of it. I saw, it was a public speaking course. This is back in the 20s or 30s. First one was just public speaking 101. That got an okay response. Second version was how to speak confidently from the front of the room. That speaks more to the result. It got a better response. The last one was how to get a standing ovation every time you speak. Yeah, because that was the thing people were really craving. So we're always just trying to go for the most true result. What's the thing they are really craving? And speaking of that, okay, we're almost at time.
Yeah.
In your rendering, the who, what, result story, it's not modality, it's how. That's an important distinction. You might never name the modality when you talk about how you do it. It might be how could be, yeah, I do it over the phone. You never name the specific branch of life coaching or embodiment work. It's like, yeah, we just get together at my studio and the sessions are about an hour each and we're mostly standing and moving around as we do it, for example. You don't need to name a modality. So the number five is how. Modality is part of that. But you may use a combination of modalities and they may not care what the modality is. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Tad, so much. This You're was welcome. A jam-packed hour. These sessions go by so fast. So the next session coming up after this is Biohacking and Embodiment with Maria Karelis. So if you want to stick around for that. Also, there's a private Facebook group both for this channel where this session was live streamed. So if you all want to connect on that, it's the TEC Leadership and Business Facebook group. It's public. Go ahead and add yourself to that. Find this and we can keep it going. There's also the Embodiment Conference group as well. So check out both of those. And remember that during the conference, the package for all of these recordings, if you want to digest this one, which is live for 48 hours, but if you want to keep it forever, you can buy the package and all 1,000 presentations at a reduced price during the conference. So you can digest it at your own time. It also enables us to pay for the conference. So Tad, last thing, what is your number one top tip to stay embodied?
Take breaks from that computer every 20 minutes, stand up, move around, stretch. Yeah. Turn off your phone at night.
Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. We actually do have one more minute, but any last put in the chat, like the one thing that you've taken away.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. Yeah. What was most useful? What was the new gem, the new nugget for you, if anything? It's also helpful just for yourself to, rambling is okay, yes. Thank God somebody got that one. Speak in the client's voice, yeah. Clarity on approach, settle on a single niche for God's sake. If you can, it helps. Stories in the back pocket, you know, what keeps them up at night, bar chat. Good, I'm glad somebody also caught that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be clear for your sake, specificity.
Yeah, bar chat and party gossip. It's a good way to think about marketing because, why? Because marketing is primarily done through word of mouth. And that's just people talking about stuff. In an unstructured way. So that's how the marketing needs to align with that, because that's the reality of most marketing.
Speak how people speak. Yeah. Okay, we're right on time. So thank you, Tad, and thank you everyone for joining, and see you all at the rest of the conference.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.